We're going to continue our conversation about multicultural Chicago. While it is diverse, many ethnic groups have created their own conclaves. And while that can be an interesting and kind of fun as a tourist issue, we wanted to talk about what that means for the sort of the fabric of society. A recent study by researchers at DePaul University concludes that Chicago's ethnic communities tend to remain fairly segregated. Here to talk more about that are Lauren Fisher. She's a research associate who conducted the study. And Harold Lucas, he's a community activist from the Bronzeville section of Chicago. He believes in preserving neighborhood identity. Welcome to you both. Thank you for stopping.
Thank you.
Michelle. Thanks for having me.
First to you, Lauren, tell us about the study. And what was the goal of the study? Was it to quantify something that people already kind of had assumptions about?
Yeah, I think that's a really great way to say it. When we set out, we wanted to look at diversity in Chicago's neighborhoods, dispersion of different groups, kind of get our hand on where the city stands now in 2005.
Can you quantify this for me? How many different ethnic groups are there, in fact, in Chicago?
Oh, my goodness. I think that last time we checked, there's about 57.
57?
Yes, and that includes different combinations, the way the census counts. You know, that's our most reliable data source. But, you know, needless to say, just like Al said, there is just groups that you would not expect. We have a very large Palestinian population here in Chicago. And it creates an interesting city. It creates a different feel. And especially in the summer, when a lot of these areas are having neighborhood festivals and people can go out to areas that they might not necessarily be drawn to.
But part of the other purpose of the study was to describe the fact that some of these neighborhood enclaves actually stay enclaves, that there are a lot of people here, but they don't necessarily mix in residentially anyway. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's definitely accurate. We see a concentration of diversity in certain neighborhoods. They're neighborhoods that have typically been diverse. They're port of entry communities is what we call them, so they're heavily dominated by a foreign-born population.
But is this, what word do you use? Is this segregation or separation?
You know, that's a great question. I think we've usually used separation. Segregation can be a little bit of a charged word, and so we kind of try to stay away from putting any value judgment on it and just say these groups are kind of, they're separated.
Harold Lucas, you work in Bronzeville, known as the Black Metropolis of Chicago. Do I have that?
Do I have that right?
This neighborhood didn't make the cut as one of the 23 most diverse neighborhoods in Chicago, as I understand. It is predominantly Bronze, right?
Predominantly Bronze, and we're trying to keep it Bronze.
Why so?
Because it is the destination of the Great Migration to Chicago. It is a place that was historically segregated. We want to focus on authenticity, and we think that we have a wealth of culture and heritage there that needs to be preserved from an international perspective.
But people associate segregation with pain, political invisibility, diminished access to, you know, quality services, right?
So all of that is true, and we have suffered through all of those experiences as a community. I think when you talk about diversity in the 21st century, you have to talk about at whose expense, and you have to deal with the issues of whether they are charged issues or not. The reality is we've been a segregated city from the very beginning.
Why keep it that way?
Well, I don't think it's a question of keeping it that way. I think in the question of Bronzeville, it's a question of preserving the authentic experience. And that the question then becomes, how much diversity do we want in Chinatown? How much diversity do we want in Pilsen? And in Bronzeville, how much diversity do we need before we lose our soul? And that's the problem with Chicago, because from an international perspective, when you come to Chicago, you want to see the blues, jazz, and gospel, the authentic place where that began. And also, you're now interested in the politics that might elect the first Black man in the White House.
You associate it sort of with neighborhood cohesion, but sometimes that neighborhood cohesion takes a turn toward hostility toward other people. Do you still experience that? And I want to hear from you on this too, Lauren, if you
have
an
opinion. From a historical perspective, no community has experienced more hostility than the Black community in the city of Chicago. Historically, all the way back from the first riots in 1919 all the way through to today, from an economic point of view. You look at the social service programs, you look at the initiatives on gangs, crime. Where are the initiatives to bring economic empowerment? Where are the initiatives for social entrepreneurship? why are those funds so glaringly lacking in the pattern and in geographic areas of the city of Chicago?
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with Research Associate Lauren Fisher and Harold Lucas, a community activist in Bronzeville, about segregation, diversity, and the multicultural experience in Chicago. Lauren, do you have an opinion about this?
I think Mr. Lucas is completely accurate with that. And a lot of the diversity that we've seen is not integration between the white and black communities. They've stayed pretty segregated. So there's, you know, definitely a part to that. And historically, there have been policies that have kind of kept certain groups away from certain other groups.
So is the segregation, as it was, mainly a white-black phenomenon? And when you, in the other groups, is it more layered when it comes to Latinos and Asians? Is that how you see it?
Yeah, well, that's definitely what our study showed, is there weren't a lot of neighborhoods that were kind of half black, half white. Mm-hmm. It was much more that you would have a strong Latino population near a strong black population or a strong Asian population near a strong white population.
Harold, do you experience it that way?
I think the issue is more the top-down versus bottom-up. I think communities need to have the capacity to build from the bottom-up. And when you talk to, when you hear Obama, the presidential candidate, you hear him using the language bottom-up. When you go back to Saul Alinsky and you go back to the grassroots groups, we have to build a capacity from the bottom up, because the top down, the resources never get to the intended people in the legislation that it was written for.
But historically, the cure for the political isolation of African American communities has been integration. The goal, I don't know if it's, you want to call it the preferred method, but that has been kind of the politically
It's a politically correct method to say that, but if you talk to the elders, they will tell you that that's not true, that once we did get our integration, it didn't help us as a mass, and I think that's reflected in the population today. You know, when you have a public housing population where 70% of the women are female head of household, why would you not expect to have gang affiliation being labeled on most the majority of the African-American people in our community? When you tear down public housing at a very rapid rate and displace them and resegregate them in so-called middle-class communities like Chatham and South Shore, why would it not be absolutely the next step that the gang wars would ensue between the indigenous populations there?
But you just heard my conversation with Valerie Jarrett, and who's part of the sort of process of trying to desegregate public housing, and her take on it is that when you disperse some of these communities where there are a lot of sort of issues concentrated, that it actually kind of helps people tap in to the higher quality of life, and that you don't buy that. You think it kind of destroys what?
I completely don't buy it unless there is a social entrepreneurial component that brings the wealth and moves them from poverty into economic empowerment. That is that piece of it I'm still looking for, especially in Bronzeville. Because the not only have the lower income people, African Americans, been removed from public housing, but now they're moving on developments like Lake Meadows, which have been for the last 40 years upper and middle class enclaves.
Lauren, do you have a point of view on this? I mean, you may not as a researcher, but do you have a point of view about whether I guess what I'm wondering is, that you think your study confirms what people already know, which is that you can be very diverse and still very separate, or is there a sense that there's something wrong with being both diverse and separate, that the goal of diversity should be that we all kind of mix it up? I don't know.
You know, one thing that we found in Chicago is that a lot of these communities kind of just became diverse by choice, or by chance, actually. Sorry about that. And so they just kind of sprung up around, and now communities are trying to find ways to deal with it. And they're able to leverage their diversity and bring in residents because they're attracted by that kind of vibrant community.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Harold? What do you think? What's the goal, in your view? The goal would be that neighborhoods
economic emancipation. I think the goal has been for African Americans economic emancipation. We've come through Reconstruction. We've come through the industrial age. We are now into the service economy. We need to hang our hats on growth industries. For us, that's heritage tourism. That's information technology. That's hospitality services. How do we put a great plate of food on the table to serve people coming from all over the world? to enjoy our culture. We're deeply ensconced in that. I'm not just an activist. I'm a community developer in terms of building on the industries of heritage tourism, which is the fastest growing segment of the tourism industry. And the African-American component of that is the fastest growing segment in that industry. So we have a visitor information center anchored at the gateway to the Black Metropolis Historic District, 9 blocks from the largest convention center in the world. So we're linked to it, anticipating it, looking forward to creating jobs for low-income people to move them out of poverty and to economic self-sufficiency. But we don't have to be displaced, nor do we have to be the minority in the diversity. The question is, since the white folks chose to leave in the 1940s so because they didn't want to live around black people and move to the suburbs, now can they come back in as a minority and maybe come back in as investors in preserving the authentic cultural experience? That's the big question, and it should come and be answered prior to the 2016 Olympics.
Did we only have a couple minutes left, but do you find there's something, Lauren, did you get a chance to talk to sort of residents in the course of your study and how the other folks navigate this question of, on the one hand, wanting to preserve culture, on the other hand, wanting access to the same quality of life and, you know, and political visibility that other groups have, right?
Yeah, we did. We went into some of our most diverse neighborhoods, and we have some strong relationships with community organizers there, with chambers of commerce, and we also made a point to go out and kind of just try to touch base with people that live there. And one thing we found is that people generally in these areas don't always mix with other groups, even if it's just a couple blocks away. So in Uptown, you have the Koreans tend to stay by the Korean section. And I think that they stay there because the amenities are there, and that's what pulls them there. I don't think a lot of residents necessarily see it as being a diverse community.
They don't see it that way. Harold, finally, this is a tough question to throw at you at the end, so I apologize for this. But there are those who, it's kind of an ongoing debate in our country about the degree to which ethnic identity interferes with our common identity. Do you know what I mean? There's a sort of ongoing question of what should our goal should be. Should it be to pursue our American identity first, to put that first, or are the ethnic identities into which we are born or what we adopt and pursue? And
as an African American, I would not want to lose the identity of my struggle to be assimilated into white America, especially of diversity. I'm not willing to do that in one bit, but I also want to say there is the issue of university partnerships. And we want to thank IIT, Illinois Institute of Technology, for being a good partner and helping to forge community development initiatives that truly break the cycle of poverty and enable us to sustain our historical community in Bronzeville.
Okay. Harold Lucas is a community activist from the Bronzeville neighborhood on the south side of Chicago, Black Metropolis, as he told us. Lauren Fisher is a research associate at DePaul University, which conducted a study on Chicago's diversity. They joined me at Wishbone Restaurant in downtown Chicago. I thank you both so much.
Thanks, Michelle.
And go get some breakfast.